What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the fourth episode of A Theology of Hustle, where we talk about work, ministry, and the people who make an art out of bringing them together. This is an awesome episode. It's super fun. We are talking to Tyler today. He is the owner of Five and Hook Coffee in Wheaton, Illinois. He's also the roaster there. We get into all sorts of cool stuff about roasting and just owning a business and just a look at what it means to really live out your call as a Christian through a business. And I think he has some really good stuff to say. It's a really fun episode. We have a really good time, and I think you're really going to enjoy. Make sure and get out there, like it, share it. I'm serious though. The reviews are so big for me. And if you're loving what I'm doing, I would just love to hear from you, honestly. So just drop a line, drop a review out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast from. Let me know what you think, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you. So enjoy listening to my interview with Tyler. All right, Tyler. Well, thank you for joining me here to do an interview.
Excited to be here.
Are you?
I am super excited.
You do seem excited.
Last week, I wasn't excited about much, but I'm excited about a lot.
Well, we're glad to have you excited about a lot of things now. So that's always a good thing. So, okay. Well, let's just jump right into it. Do you mind sort of introducing us to you and telling us your story and such?
Yeah. I'm Tyler. I'm in my late 20s still. I'm 29. Yeah, just turned 29. My gray hair would say otherwise.
You look very wise.
Thanks. I try. I am one of the owners at Five and Hook Coffee. I almost said River City Roasters, which was our old name.
I haven't made the transition. I'm struggling
Most
with
people
it.
Haven't. Yeah. Yeah.
It makes me feel better.
Yeah. I should be offended because Five and Hook is part of my last name. So
right.
I should be mad that people haven't accepted it.
Right.
Yeah.
I do love the new name and logo, though.
Thanks.
I have to say.
Thanks. So, yeah, I'm one of the owners at Five and Hook. I'm the five in the Five and Hook. Aaron Hoekstra is the hook in Five and Hook.
He will be on this podcast at
nice.
Some point as well.
Nice. So. And then Eric, the founder, came up with the name. So that's our team. And I'm here. I'm the roaster. That's what I do with most of my time.
Okay.
Is roast coffee and then drink it.
Okay.
And make sure it drinks the same.
Every Perfect. Time. That sounds sounds like a good job.
I love it. That's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So do you mind, I mean, your journey to where you're at now is not a straight and narrow path. Like you're, you know, 12 and like, hey, I'm going to be a coffee roaster someday and own a coffee shop. So do you mind sort of taking us on the Tyler adventure?
On the journey? Yeah. I was 12 at one time, like you mentioned. Okay. I just played sports. That's all I really was into. I was like a bro. As a couple friends like to remind me, like, oh, you were at one time just a bro. Like, you weren't into coffee. I was just into sports. So I wanted
to... You
don't
come off bro-ish to me at all.
Good. Okay. That makes me feel good about that.
Okay, good.
I wanted to be involved in sports. And I was always involved in ministry just through people I knew. Through church, just being involved in things like youth group, Awana when I was younger, and like led games, like the game time of Awana, did some of that, and just thought I wanted to do that kind of as a career after college. So why not go to Moody? So went to Moody, almost graduated.
Almost. I love it. I love the pause.
Perfect. I'm like, do I say graduated here? No, let's just be real.
I'm good with that. I like it.
Whenever I mention, yeah, I graduated from Moody, people are like, no, he didn't. He's a class short. And now they removed that major. I was a sports ministry major.
They don't have sports ministry anymore?
No. This is really? The final year.
Wow.
Yeah.
No idea. So now, is it impossible for you to graduate now?
Probably. Or I guess I could graduate with Bible.
Yeah, like a
BS and BS.
BS. Yeah, exactly. a biblical studies degree, a Bachelor of Science in Biblical Studies, which is the BS in BS.
That is the BS in BS. Yep. So yeah, went to Moody, did sports ministry, met some of my best friends there, and then graduated almost. I walked in a gown.
Really?
Yeah, and then was made aware of the one class that I had missed.
That's later, incredible.
Like 6 months after all your friends are getting their diplomas, and you're like, where's mine?
So the mail must have lost it. Yeah. What's going on
here? Hi, the mail lost my diploma. Are you resending it? Oh, no, you need to take this last class. Okay. Nah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Wow, that is, that's something.
So yeah, graduated, moved up to Minnesota for a little bit. Worked with a buddy up there, spent a year and a half up there, loved it. Did my internship up there as well. And then, sorry, that wasn't when I graduated. Spent a year in Minnesota, came back to Moody, thought I had graduated after that, and then moved back to Aurora, where my folks did live, and got married shortly after that, and then went into life insurance.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
That was horrible. Sold my soul.
Yeah?
Suit and tie every day.
Oh, man.
Long shot from what I'm wearing now.
That is a little different. Joggers and a t-shirt. From.
That's probably why I'm in coffee. I can just wear the clothes I want to wear now. I can wear a suit if I want, because I still have them, but I kind of keep them in the back of the closet.
Yeah.
PTSD.
I can understand.
Yeah. I don't like calling people now.
You don't drama call anymore. I see. Because you're cold calling and all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
So I did life insurance, hated it. And then Eric said, oh, you have sales experience, so why don't you come sell coffee for me? So I tricked him. And with my sales experience, quote. So went, started selling coffee for him. And then he said, why don't you just join the business? And me and Beth had just got married. And I was like, hey, want to join Eric's business and start selling coffee? We just got married. Why not? And so we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how did that, I mean, was that conversation okay? Was that a...
Yeah, I just knew I wanted to do it. Like we had prayed about it and just... After about like a week, just knew it was the decision to make. And which was crazy because we were in Yorkville at the time and construction was going on all around our business. So our business like took like an 80 or 85% like hit in sales, like day to day. So it was like pretty much failing. Or at least we knew it would be like a year before we were out of that. So we did it anyways. And then we found Wheaton and then made the move.
You've been at Wheaton. How long have you been in Wheaton now?
December of 2013.
Okay. Okay. So.
So since 2014.
Yeah. So 3.5 years. Yeah. Is that right?
Four. Yeah.
4.5.
4 years.
Oh, 4 years. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. What is life sort of like now? You know, what does a coffee roaster do on a day-to-day basis?
I roast coffee.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
No, I start my day, I head into the coffee shop, snag an espresso and a coffee to go, see how the staff are doing, drink some coffee with them. Like today I cupped some coffees, some new ones that we have coming in. And so, they were like sample roast from the week before, from Friday. So I had to taste those, see if this new coffee was a good base for some blends. So did that. That took about an hour. And then went over to the roastery, and I was roasting and bagging coffee until I drove over here to hang out.
Okay, perfect. Well, we're glad to get you over here.
I know. I made it.
You did.
64.59. Easy.
Yeah, it is really easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just around the corner, basically.
You are.
Okay, so Let's take another trip though down memory lane, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear your coffee journey story, because you go into college to do ministry, to get this ministry degree, and then, you know, sort of end up now roasting coffee. So can you talk about how did that all take place?
Yeah. When I was at Moody, I needed to go study. I'm not a library person. Like, I just can't do it. It's too quiet. I like just ambient noise going on. So I checked out, I would just go to Starbucks, which was like on the one on Chicago Ave,
just right
a block away from Moody. Mm-hmm. So I'd always go there and decided to try something local. And looked up some coffee places, went to like Bourgeois Pig.
I love the Bourgeois Pig.
So good.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So my places were like Bourgeois Pig, Noble Tree, which isn't anymore. It was like in an old house. So it had like three levels, similar to Bourgeois Pig.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I tried out Intelligentsia, and that's where I pretty much fell in love with, oh, this is what coffee is supposed to taste like, which I started out with a vanilla latte. And then after like a couple weeks, tried a regular latte. And then maybe after a couple of months, switched to regular, just their whatever coffee they had going on at that time. And I was like, oh, this tastes so different than like what coffee tastes like. Like, this isn't coffee. This is juice. Like, this is not burnt coffee of what I grew up, you know, drinking from a Mr. Coffee Pot.
Yeah, it's a whole different. It's like you're not drinking the same beverage.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's where I fell in love with coffee. Didn't really know I would get involved in coffee. I just knew I liked drinking good coffee. Then in 2008, so that was right before college, we went to India, and Eric, who founded River City, he was my youth director at the time. So he was my youth director, family friend, like hung out with my family all the time. And he took a group to India to visit one of the missionaries that our church supported, who lives in Assam, India, in Tezpur, which is like Burma, like way northeast India. Kaziranga is like the national forest up there. So that's where we went. And we went to tea gardens doing children's programs in each village. So we had like an activity time where like we played sports or like played a lot of cricket, because they love cricket. So they taught us how to play cricket. Like, we would start playing like wiffle ball and they'd be like, this is boring. Like, let's play cricket. So we would play cricket. But yeah, every tea village we went to, the pastor would insist that we would go to his house for tea and biscuits and just hang out, talk. Even if we were like 2 hours late to the village, the kids were waiting at the church, like ready to go. And the pastor was like, no, come to my house for tea and biscuits first. So it was like this laid back. They said lahe lahe, which was slow down. So for them, it was a way of life, not just a phrase. And they really like, it was super laid back, which I'm all about. Drinking with people. So that's what this was. And it was each tea village's, like, it was their tea that they grew. So they were, like, proud to serve us this beverage. So Eric wanted to take that back to the States and roast coffee because he hates tea. We serve great tea at the shop. It really is. And I have come to appreciate tea. But I do prefer coffee 99.9% of the time over tea. He wanted to bring that back. So he started River City. And then I experienced that same, you know, kind of welcoming community style, like just like welcoming from them. And so when he started doing it here in the States, I think I worked like a Sunday a week for him while I was selling my soul to life insurance. If you're a good salesman, it's great. Like, do it.
Right. Right. It's not for everyone,
though. No, wasn't for me. So, and Beth hated it.
Why is that?
Because the company I worked for, it was not a lot of cold calling. It was a lot of warm calling. So it was like, oh, call your great aunt who you haven't talked to in like 8 years. So like I called those people and they did not want me to help them with their money. So yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah. She was not into it.
Okay. So the coffee shop was a welcome change.
From, Yeah. It was definitely like a risky change, being in business for yourself, but the freedom, even just with time, is worth it. Like, we pay our bills, but the freedom alone, like, we can go visit her folks in Michigan for an extended weekend, and I can just roast enough coffee to get us through, you know?
Yeah. So I want to segue into a little bit of that.
All right.
But are we done with the coffee sort of journey? Because I assume that the whole reason you would... So he was trying to, he wanted to bring that feel that he had in India,
yep.
Eric did,
yep.
back to the States, and you sort of caught that vision. I mean, would you say that that's
Yeah,
sort of
I experienced it in India, and then after being in life insurance, and I would hang out with Eric while I was selling life insurance, and he was like, well, Eric's always encouraged, like, you should do something you're passionate about. Like, whatever it is you do, like, you should be passionate about it. And I wasn't. Me and Beth got married, so I just needed a job, right?
Yeah, you were making money.
I got to work.
Yeah.
So then when I was making money, and then when I wasn't making money with life insurance, because that's kind of how it ebbs and flows, like building a book of business in that world. When that wasn't happening towards the end, we both knew, like, okay, this is an opportunity to kind of transition out. And it was great. It's been great since 2013.
Yeah. So you're a full-on entrepreneur. I mean, you're owning a company, you're running it. Yep. Do you want to talk a little bit?
I wish I was an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I want to be an entrepreneur.
Okay.
And I guess you could put me in that camp because I do own a business. But I feel like entrepreneurs own more businesses than just the one they're in.
Oh, so there's like a certain level.
I feel
level.
Like if I own another business, then I'm an entrepreneur, but I guess I could just consider myself a business owner.
A business owner.
Right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But entrepreneur sounds cooler.
It really does. Although it's about impossible to spell.
That's true.
Every time I spell it, I'm like,
entrepreneur.
I'm lost. Yes. Right. Yeah. So, what's it like sort of running a business?
It's challenging. It's rewarding. Been doing it now since 2013 with Eric. And when I jumped into it with him, it was a lot of like, hey, we have to work all the bar hours and just hustle. Oh, fitting.
That's perfect. Thanks for the,
I didn't even do that on purpose.
Oh, really?
I promise.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was just like hustling and working 90 hours a week, me, Beth, Eric. So that was us running our business, is we would go do Restaurant Depot runs, run the business, work it 90 hours a week, and not really like run the business. We were just like surviving in the business. But we knew we had to do that. So we did that for a couple, like a year and a half, until we actually like hired people. And actually a Moody connection was our first employee. His name was Sean. He came in and we were pulling espresso on a plastic bodied FEMA that we inherited from the previous coffee shop La Spiazza.
Oh gosh, the stories of La Spiazza.
We spent 3 days before we opened. We thought we were gonna like paint a bunch of stuff and like maybe put in like a new bar, and we literally spent 3 days cleaning because there was like grease and sludge all over the walls. It was disgusting.
That place is wild.
Yeah, we threw out a chair that had oil stains on the top of the chair. We moved a couch out that had, it was probably the heaviest couch I've ever lifted. And we were moving it out at like 2 in the morning. And me and Eric dropped the couch and about 100 encyclopedias fell out.
You're kidding.
No.
What?
So that was just like, it's 3 in the morning. Encyclopedias just fell out of this couch. It was funny.
I think if you could take a snapshot of that moment, you were like, what I did not think owning a business was going to be
was
right
this.
Here.
Yep. Yeah.
It's amazing what you get yourself into.
Oh, I know. It's been awesome though. So that was like first kind of phase of owning the business. So then we hired a couple people. So yeah, Sean was our first hire. He was from Moody. He came in, saw what we were pulling on that plastic FEMA and said, your coffee's good, but I can make it better. And I was like, okay. And for some reason we accepted that feedback. Usually me and Eric would not have been okay with someone coming in and saying that. 'Cause like, this is our product that we're putting out and we think it's good. And then when he was like, it can be way better, we were like, oh, so you don't think our product's good.
So what you're trying to say is.
So yeah, we hired him and he pretty much like kind of got us moving towards like really becoming a specialty coffee roaster and coffee shop instead of just like a mom and pop coffee shop. 'Cause we did a lot of flavored lattes, a lot of blended drinks, a lot of like side things that weren't really like coffee centered. So he came in and kind of helped us kind of start to find our identity, and move in that direction of becoming a specialty coffee shop. So that was like phase two, hiring people, kind of still coffee connection community. Like that was our goal. Roast great coffee, serve it in a community where people can connect with each other. And that was our goal. And we were doing that. But our coffee just wasn't at the level that we all wanted it to be. So we hired him, and then we hired this dude, Tyler Morey from Texas.
Yeah.
I know you like people from Texas.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He has a sweet Texas tattoo.
He
as
does
well.
On his forearm, I think. Yeah. So he's crazy good at coffee too. So he helped us kind of develop a training program as well. And really like bar flow and all that kind of stuff. So he was a gem. And we paid these guys like $10 an hour plus tips. Like they weren't supposed to be helping us out as much as they were. So we just knew they liked us and believed in our vision and what we were trying to do. And I wish they would come back. But Sean lives in sunny LA.
Oh yeah, you're not getting him back.
No. And Tyler is getting his PhD, so yeah.
He could be a PhD that still grinds on the coffee machine though. Yeah.
That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah. That'd be so great. So yeah, that was the next phase. And then we had this guy who would always come to the coffee shop and tell us how much he liked us and wanted to become our friends. And that was Aaron Hoekstra.
That dude totally weaseled his way in, right?
So he helped me and Eric. Because me and Eric in 2014, that was a phase. So the 90-hour work week phase, me and Eric almost killed each other. Like our personalities are different. And so we actually took the Enneagram test.
Oh, we talked about Enneagram with Ray and Kelly.
Oh, perfect.
Okay, so
yeah, we took the Enneagram and I learned a lot of how Eric works and Eric learned a lot about how I work. And it literally solved most all of our problems. Like, really? Just how we handled, like, situations. Like, I'm not very, emotional. Like, I don't... Beth makes fun of me and her because we're not really emotional people. Like, we don't express it, I guess, that often. And Eric's, like, a feeler. Like, he's, like... That's why, like, Coffee Connection Community is so ingrained into our company, is because he, like... believes that and wants to live that out every day, and like is adamant that that's happening, where I'm just like, well, if it happens, like, cool.
That is so,
yeah. So,
yeah.
So yeah, the Enneagram like solved our problems.
It's so crazy. Cause Ray and Kelly are, they're married.
Yeah.
And they said, but they own a business together. Yeah. And they said the exact same thing about their business.
That's hilarious.
How the Enneagram basically like, changed everything. Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what number did you discover that you are?
I'm a nine.
You're a nine.
I'm a peacekeeper, yeah.
Really?
Peacemaker? Peacekeeper?
Yeah. Peace.
Both?
You're just peace. All about the peace.
Peace, bro.
So what is Eric then?
Four.
A four. I was going to guess a four. Okay. Yeah,
he's a four.
And
then I think Aaron's a two?
No, I'd say Aaron's an eight, I think. Is that true?
What is eight?
That's like the...
I always forget what they are.
I don't remember the catchword for it, but it's one of the more aggressive sort of numbers.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Yep. You said aggressive.
Yes.
Yes, eight.
Yes. He is. he reminds me of just a really healthy eight. You know?
Yeah, it's people that embrace conflict. Is that eight?
Right, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So Aaron was another reason me and Eric worked a lot of stuff out, is he was like a sounding board for both of us. Like, he's a great mediator with stuff like that. So, like, I would come to him and be like, this is why I want to murder Eric. And Eric would come to him and be like, this is why I want to murder Tyler. And he's like, don't murder each other. And so he helped us through, like, the hardest year our business has ever experienced. So then, of course, we gave him part of the company.
Yeah, totally.
Why not?
I mean, hey, he helped you through the hardest year you've ever had.
He pretty much like filled a void like that we saw in our company, which is like his relational skills and his people skills. So he's like our PR guy.
Yeah.
Customer service dude. Like, he responds to every customer service complaint through Square. It's awesome. I like see one come through and I go on and Aaron's like already given them a coupon and responded to them and apologized. Like
super
happy. And I'm like, this is awesome.
That's cool. I love how that just, I mean, bringing a company together, I don't think people understand just the personalities and like you're married to each other.
You really are.
And so working out those like details of relationship and
for sure. Beth always has said, business ownership, like business partnership, is marriage without all the marriage benefits.
You know what, Beth? That is spot on.
So, I know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You got a wise
she is.
Wife there.
Yeah, she
it's
is.
Impressive. Okay. So are we good with the business story? I mean, you're just sort of...
I'm just kind of like piecing it all together. I should have come more organized.
You're great. This is awesome. This is how conversations go. They don't come with a, 15 point plan.
I could have read bullet points for you.
That's okay. I appreciate that. I'm not mad at you, so you don't have to keep peace with me right now.
That's good. Yeah.
So I want to go back though to Coffee Connection Community. Cause I really do feel that those three things embody your business, right? Mm-hmm. That's why I really enjoy going myself.
Cool.
So talk to me a little bit about just like crafting a culture and like maintaining a culture. Cause I think it's one of the hardest things there is to do in a business is to just stay firmly planted in that one way of doing things.
It's nice to hear that you think we're living out that culture.
Totally.
And that
I don't say that mantra, to just impress you.
So. No, I'm glad you say that. Cause we live in that. Like, how are we creating culture that like benefits the community, like our customers, the farmers we work with, our staff, each other as business partners? Like, Eric brought us in because we're his friends and he wants to do this business with us. So me and Eric love Aaron and wanted to do the business with him. So we invited him in. Obviously, he has like qualities that we don't have that we saw a need for the business, but it was definitely more so like he was a great friend and we wanted to do this every day with him. So we spent a lot of time on how to cultivate a culture of coffee connection and community. So I think my part's the easiest. My part is just roast good coffee.
Just the coffee.
Yeah. Like roast good coffee. And then the staff shares that with our customers. So if I'm roasting horrible coffee, they're not going to want to serve it to our customers because all of our staff enjoys good coffee. So we spend a lot of time on like, how do we highlight like connecting with people and how do we connect well with people? And then how do we cultivate like true community, not use it just as like a plug that people, you know, we want people from the local community, but like we want community to be something we're just like a place we're doing life with people, which for us is our brand. And then the coffee shop is just like a great place where people can come and do that together. So Trisha's a huge part.
And Trisha, what is Trisha?
Trisha is our store manager, and she is the face that you see most days from like 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the shop. And she is great at like remembering people's names, talking to them, like making them feel like they're wanted there, because they are. But she does a great job of like just doing life with them. Something that I'm not great at. Like I have my friends who I hang out with and do life with, but she really embodies like that with strangers. And she knows people's names like crazy. It's unreal. And knows like what they're interested in. It's crazy. So she's a huge part of just like that front facing community aspect with Wheaton.
Yeah. And so you're putting like plugging people into the right places, right?
Is
a lot of the.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric's always said that from the time he asked me to become involved is he knows he can't run the company by himself. And then we knew we couldn't run it together. So we brought in Aaron. So we think we can run it now how it is.
Yeah.
We think.
I love it.
And now it's just like filling those gaps with like hiring great staff. And we feel like it's going that way right now. So we're excited with like the crew we have. And our last staff meeting, they all like deep cleaned the shop and then had a bonfire at Tyler and Trisha's after. It was great. I wasn't there. I had a sleeping baby at home.
Wow.
But Beth was there. And so, yeah, Beth and Trisha with the staff are like why community happens in that whole space. And then I just have to roast good enough coffee that they all like to serve it.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
So community for me is like, I had the opportunity to go to Honduras in January. And so I met one of the producers that we work with, Blas from Catracha Coffee in Santa Elena, La Paz, Honduras. It's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah. I'm going to have to, like all these places, like India, I'm going to have to put in the show notes, like maps
great.
To
yeah.
all these places.
Perfect.
So I think it'd be cool just to see, because so you went down to Honduras to talk mm-hmm. to one of your roasters.
One of our farmers.
One of your farmers, yep. Sorry. And I love seeing the pictures just from that.
It was so much such, fun. Like that's what I guess the passion for roasting comes from is like meeting Blas, and he's like working so hard at producing like great quality coffee. And then it makes me not like just throw the, now I just don't want to like throw the coffee in and be like, well, let's hope it turns out good. Oh, this is good enough. Like it makes me want to like devote my time to produce the best quality coffee out of that.
Do you mind stopping right here though and just like explaining that? Because I have no idea what you're talking. I worked at Starbucks for 10 years. I still have no idea. Like, what does that mean? Like, what do you put extra time into? What does that roasting process sort of look like to you?
Yeah. So right now, okay. So I went to Honduras, met Blas. He was producing the coffee that we will have in 2 months. So he was producing that coffee. He was picking the cherries. I picked some with him, ate some. They're delicious. He was then washing, fermenting the coffee, drying it. Then once it reaches a certain moisture level, it goes into storage before it's shipped in a container with 60,000 pounds of coffee. Wow. There's some companies that buy full containers.
Really?
Yeah. We're not there yet.
Soon though, right?
Intelligentsia, yeah. Like those got big dogs like that, yeah. Buy full containers of stuff from Africa, Central America. Anyways, so we get a sample of his coffee, and out of the 55 Catracha lots from different farmers, his was, it cupped an 86, which only 5 of the entire lots cupped 86 or higher.
So you, it's just like a, is it a
it's
scale?
It's a score. Yeah. Okay. So they send theirs to Blue Bottle. Blue Bottle is their biggest buyer. So Blue Bottle grades it for Royal. Royal's the importer. So I work with Myra, who works for Royal and also runs Catracha, which is where I visited. So I visited her.
Okay.
So she works with Blas and other Santa Elena farmers. So she gets coffee for Royal. Royal sells it to me, the roaster, and then I roast it. So a lot of roasters who visit farmers are buying it from the farmer and shipping all their coffee like directly. Like we only do that with one farmer in Colombia. And so we buy it from Royal and then it's shipped. So the sample shipped to us, we cup it, we give it a grade. Royal cups it, they give it a grade. So Blue Bottle does that for Royal on this specific coffee, not all their coffees.
Okay.
So
gosh, that's a lot. I don't think I realized, it just seems to me like, oh, I buy some coffee from somebody overseas, ship it in. And so what about the roasting process though? Like how do you say it makes me want to take more time and sort of, what does that mean?
Yeah. So just seeing meeting him and like, that's his primary income. So the fact that like, we're buying it is really cool. Granted, someone else would buy it. So I'm not like saving people's lives here. You know what I mean?
I'm glad
like,
you don't have that savior
some,
mentality.
Yeah, like that, some people, yeah. Like they're like, oh, we saved this farmer's life by buying this coffee. And it's like, oh my gosh, thanks for doing that to that poor
person.
You're
such a wonderful person, yeah.
Anyways.
A little soapbox there. We just might have mentioned
anyways,
it
too. Yeah, it just makes me want to spend more time. So when I get a sample, I roast it, cup it, give it a score. Do I want to carry this coffee? I actually ruined his sample. Like I roasted it terribly.
So what does that mean? Like too long or
no?
Is it a temperature thing?
Didn't roast it hot enough. Like it never reached the temperature that I should have had it reach to like fully like cook the bean. So it wasn't developed enough at all. And so it tasted like peanut butter and grass, which like no one wants to drink that.
I haven't had that one yet.
So that means it was like underdeveloped. So it didn't develop fully inside the bean. So I got back to Myra's husband who kind of works with all the farmers directly because Myra works for Royal full time. So she doesn't have the time that Lowell, her husband, has to work with all these farmers. He visits them all the time, tests their fermentation tanks for the right levels that it needs to be at, tests like the sugars, tests the soil. Like he's doing soil analysis for these farmers, and he put weather stations in some of the farms to like look at cup scores in relation to like weather in that area, and like, is there a correlation? So he's like nerding out on all coffee
like
too
nerdy.
At Origin. It's super fun. So I get to nerd out on that on the roaster. So I get that coffee in. I'll probably roast 12 different batches of it and then cup it And when I cup it, it just means tasting. It's just like a standardized way to taste coffee. So we cup all those. I usually cup with Beth because she has a better palate than I do. So she can taste like roast defects that I've not roasted it good enough, essentially. Or if it's a defect that is from origin. So after sampling them all, we'll choose a roast profile. So when I put a batch in the roaster, it goes through, it cooks essentially. Like it's room temperature. I put it in the roaster. It cooks for anywhere from 10 to 12 minutes. Then I cup it after that.
So then you sort of get a profile. Like you, this is the best way to sort of like
yep.
cook these, roast yeah. these. And then that's how you'll then roast the other 15 bags or
yep.
you know, that you have. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for delving into that little nerdy.
Oh, I love that stuff.
That's cool.
That's the world I live in is yeah. roasting coffee and drinking it and figuring out how to change it up if I have to.
So let me ask you this question. I know we've probably gotten into a lot of this. You've talked about sort of the vision of the company. You've talked about,
yeah.
You know, where y'all are headed and all this stuff. And I mm-hmm. think you've probably hit on this like several times, but how would you see ministry coming into what you do?
Yeah. I guess it's just ingrained in what I do day to day. And just like how we make decisions. Like if we ever have a tough decision, like we're usually talking like, oh yeah, I'm praying about this. Like, and we always come together to make a decision. Like obviously there's, you know, what socks should I wear kind of decisions that each of us make day to day. Like they don't tell me, like Aaron and Eric don't be like, hey, you should roast this coffee this way. Cause they don't usually cup with me. Like Beth will cup with me and say, hey, you should do this way. But with like big decisions, we like all pray about it individually and then come together and make a decision. So I guess it's just ingrained, like ministry is ingrained in kind of our mantra as a company, like doing life together, like Jesus did with the disciples. Like that's what we want to do with people. We just want to come alongside people and drink coffee with them.
Yeah.
And share that with them. And if it leads to like having a relationship with people and then eventually sharing the gospel with them, like that's why.
For sure.
But we also just really like coffee too.
Right. And like, I think that's what I love about all of this stuff is it's not like there has to be some sort of like just it's part and part. Like you can't help but do ministry because that's just
yeah.
who you are in so many ways.
For sure. Yeah. We don't have. I feel like when I worked in ministry, it was so working in ministry is great. I loved it.
You don't have to
I interned. No, I interned at a church in Edina, Minnesota, and it was a youth group that I interned with, and it was fun. But like, it was all centered around like programs, and coffee's just not like that. So yeah. It's made us like Beth is always asking. Like, how is God involved in the business? It needs to be. So how is it? Like, so for me, it's been just recognizing those things. I'm like, oh, how's God moving here in the business? And not just chalking it up as coincidence or it just happened. But like God's hand is involved in it because we all believe that there's a mission bigger than serving someone coffee yeah. with what we do. So
I love that. That's good stuff. Yeah, I really do. I feel like people really do get that too. You've developed such a community. Like anytime you go into River City, it's kind of the, Five and Hook.
Five and Hook.
Anytime you go into Five and Hook, it's the same people, and not in a weird way, like, hey, you need to go home sort of deal, but like there's just a really tight knit community of people who genuinely seem to love each other and
yeah.
You know, it's not like everything's always just like perfect, but it's life together, like
yeah.
you said.
Yeah. And that's what we aim to do. Like, that's why we have the staff over, you know, after a meeting for a bonfire to hang out and just get to know each other because it isn't just a job for us or we don't want it just to be a job for them either. So yeah, just doing life together.
So I think something that comes out of that, and this is the question that I had forgotten that I remember now, but something that I think comes out of that that's really interesting to me is that y'all are so intentional about relationships with other coffee roasters.
Yeah.
You know, I was down in Plainfield. I went to some random little coffee
shop.
Ten drops. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went in there. I got coffee, which was awesome. And then the next week he was up cupping coffee with you at your store, you know? And
yeah.
The
same that was probably Kendrick Chris. And, yeah.
You know, yep. It just, the community that you have even among coffee roasters seems very, very different from like the normal business model, which is sort of like
competition, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So what can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess it just comes back to community for us. Like, though, like I'm friends with those guys. Like I'm friends with Chris from 10 Drops and Ryan from Kindred and Aaron from 10 Drops and Patrick from Kindred. And so like those guys roast coffee and they're in the coffee business. And so just having someone that does something similar or exactly the same as you do is fun to connect with those people because they understand like what you're trying to do and what you're going through day to day. So having those people to just lean on when you don't want to talk about the business is good to have because they truly understand the same things that you're going through. So for us, it's not competition. If we opened a shop in West Chicago, Kindred would be mad. If Kindred opened a shop in downtown Wheaton, we'd be mad, of course. Like, but we have like respect for each other that I even think like a town over, we'd be like, hey, we're thinking about this. What do you think? Like, we're just that close with those guys. And so we're all trying to produce great coffee and spaces where people can connect with each other that it just elevates other specialty coffee. Like it makes people aware because people just know Starbucks or Dunkin'. My thought, more specialty coffee, the better, because it's like craft beer. Like craft beer has taken off and it still continues to grow because like people just keep popping up craft breweries and producing like great tasting beer. And that's what we're trying to do with coffee. We don't like, not everyone wants to drink like a watered down Bud Light. Like they want to like taste flavor notes and nuances just like wine. So for coffee, like we want people to taste coffee from different parts of the world. We don't want them to taste smoky, bitter, ashiness in their coffee. And so like the more people that do that, the more I think people will realize that they like properly roasted coffee.
Okay. So let's go into wrapping up here. So
okay.
I've got my two final questions for you.
Ooh.
Okay. So first one is, what is the most interesting or strangest job that you have ever had?
I guess the first time I ever owned a business was me and my buddy, his name's Braxton. Eric was our youth leader. Me and Braxton wanted to start a lawn care company because Eric owned a lawn care business for quite some time. And we worked for him occasionally. Like in summers, I worked for Eric weed whipping and mowing lawns on like a zero turn 20 mile an hour. Is awesome. It's like a NASCAR driver, like mowing people's lawns. I'm sure the homeowners didn't appreciate it, but we started this business called Titan Lawn Care. Tyler Braxton. Titan Lawn Care.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, clever.
That's pretty slick.
So we did one spring cleaning and made like $250 and we were like, this is awesome. And then we never did anything else again.
Well, there you go.
That was like the weirdest. Outside of that, like I worked at Puma for all my years at Moody. Loved it.
The Puma store like on Rush or whatever
yeah.
that was? Okay.
Which is no more. It's a Vans now.
Of course.
Yeah. Vans. Yeah. Across from Velvet Taco. Yeah. So yeah, I worked at Puma for 4 years. Loved it. Free clothes every quarter. It was great.
It's pretty legit.
And then the rest was just not much else.
That's cool.
I was a waiter at Colonial Cafe in Aurora.
Oh, were you really?
My junior year of high school.
The one is on, is it on Ogden or?
What is that road? Galena.
Oh, Galena. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, if you take Orchard Road left on Galena, it's in like by the Walmart. I worked at that Colonial Cafe for like a couple weeks. And then like there was this table in the back corner I forgot about. literally they sat there for an hour waiting to place their order.
You're kidding.
And then I placed their order and forgot about their food.
So you were really good at waiting.
Yeah, I'm super forgetful. So like waiting was a great idea.
They literally waited for an hour?
Yeah.
How? What?
I'm like, I would never wait though. I'd wait like 10 minutes max.
No kidding.
Be like, I need to order food. Yeah, it was bad. So I'm not a waiter, nor will I ever be.
Well, at least you know. At least you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So then my final question, what advice would you give to somebody wanting to bring ministry into their vocation?
My advice would be to bring it in naturally. Like just live out your beliefs in your business. But yeah, definitely would say just let it happen naturally is kind of how I let it happen. But that, I'm not everybody, nor my personality is a peacemaker, right? So
totally, yeah.
So like Aaron's like, no, you got to push a little bit. And I'm like, no, dude, just let it happen, man.
How you were ever a salesman is beyond me.
I know. Now you see why it failed. I'll never be a salesman again.
At least you know, waiter, salesman, you're checking stuff off the list, though.
I know. You know? So. Well, I do send some people coffee samples in the mail with a little love note, and then I follow up with like, do you want to carry our coffee? And like, that's my sales.
I like that. And people can buy your coffee like online and stuff, right?
Yep. They can buy it online. We have a subscription program that Aaron runs. It ships out every Thursday. $18 shipped to your doorstep.
All right, I'll put all the links and stuff into the show notes. So,
and I roast all the coffee, so if you don't like it, you can message Curry at Theology of Hustle and be like, never have that guy on again.
I'll make sure the message gets to him. And
don't let the Aaron guy come on. I don't want to hear more about this River City crap that roasts crappy coffee.
Nah, not at all. Not at all. I'll be getting only like I'm totally hooked on Five and Hook.
Oh, I'm totally hooked on Five and Hook. We just
came up with a slogan.
Totally hooked on Five and Hook. Aaron should use that as like marketing mail.
I'll email him right now.
Totally hooked on Five and Hook.
Thanks, bro. Thanks for coming on. It's been awesome.
Yeah, so. I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about coffee and running a business with Tyler today. Make sure and go to Five and Hook's website and grab some coffee for yourself. It is incredible. You will not be disappointed. If you don't mind, go ahead and share this episode with some friends. Tell them about what we got going on. And I'm excited to hear from you. Let me know what you think. I'd love some feedback. And until next time, get out there and hustle.